At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Thanks for tuning into The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson here, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, and we're a Kentucky public policy group where we work to shore up the pillars of society: the sanctity of human life, marriage between a man and a woman, religious freedom, and sound fiscal policies. We do work closely with churches and political leaders across the Commonwealth. So here's the question: where is the appropriate intersection of the church and culture? And to what extent should the church engage culture? Is there a danger to the church engaging in the political arena? Joining me on the program today is Bridget Kirk Gross, manager of Christian Family Radio in Bowling Green, to talk about Commonwealth Policy Center's latest Christianity and Culture Conference. Bridget, welcome to the Commonwealth Matters.
Thank you very much. I am enjoying being your guest, Richard. I always like partnering with Commonwealth Policy Center. Thank you.
Well, thank you for helping us to promote the Christianity and Culture Conference event in Bowling Green the other day. We had a super event, great turnout of pastors, political leaders, and concerned Christians from throughout the area. And Christian Family Radio was a really important partner in promoting this. You guys did a fantastic job.
Thank you. I have the most amazing team on the planet, and you have a great opportunity for us to communicate the importance of being a voice and doing that in love. So it was a wonderful opportunity to showcase that.
By the way, Tifer, I don't want to harp on this too much, but your introduction of me and the CPC team was fantastic. Can I take you with me when we go to do these other conferences?
Yes, you may. Yes, you may.
Love that. It's very, very kind of you. You know, the arena that we're in can be an unforgiving arena. We're talking about our culture, which, you know, the truth is that many people in society today are not followers of Jesus. And then those in the church are in a place where they're reluctant to step out of the comfort zone, if you will. And you heard me talk about this the other night. But we are reluctant to engage culture and to engage people where they are. And really, at our conference, we were able to do that. So sometimes it can be a tough arena, sometimes unforgiving, because we're dealing with tough issues. We're dealing with people who are hurt sometimes. We're dealing with people who are fearful sometimes, and that really has been the goal, part of the goal of our conference. It was to talk about some of the tough issues like LGBT identity, abortion, racial reconciliation, to talk about these issues from a biblical worldview, and then to bring not just a critique or a criticism, that's really not helpful, just doing that, but to bring the love of Jesus to the conversation, which I think has been so missing, hasn't it?
We find so many times being in media that there are many people that will listen to a Christian radio station that are done with Christianity. They've been hurt by the way an issue has either been approached or not been approached. And then there are people that have no experience, but they have maybe a stereotype of what they think Christianity is like. And so we have the opportunity to say Christianity is engaging, it is inspiring, and it should be kind and loving. And if not, I like to say, if you're wearing my family name and you can't wear that name genuinely and lovingly, please be quiet. Please be quiet, because faith needs to be something that isn't forced on somebody else, but it should be something that's inviting and engaging.
Inviting, engaging, something that's embraced. And I had shared, just to cue up the conference and to set up some kind of context, is, you know, I think that many churches are fearful. Some churches are condemning when it comes to culture. And I'll be frank, there's a lot wrong with culture. There's a lot that needs to be addressed. But it matters how we engage. It matters the tone of our voice. It matters about our motivation. Are we motivated by love? Are we motivated by anger? Are we motivated by our self-righteousness? Are we motivated by the love of Jesus? Those are important things to ask. But I had shared a sign in front of a church. The church had a couple of its air conditioning units stolen. They were obviously upset, but they put on the sign, whoever it was that stole one of our air conditioning or our air conditioning units, keep one because it's hot where you're going. Now,
right.
Is that the message that the world needs to hear?
And you made reference to something, Richard. You said there's a lot of things wrong in culture. Even just stating that, even just saying that, I think that's the conversation. We're focusing too much on the wrong when you've got to start the conversation. We did that the other night at the conference. We talked about there are commonalities that we can begin to appreciate, to honor one another, but we can come from very different spaces and places. It's not I'm wrong, you're wrong and I'm right. You know, we have done that too much and it's wrong. It's wrong. So I appreciate the opportunity to learn more about people, but equally, I think we have to be responsible as followers of Christ to share our faith in such a way that it does not turn people away, that they're actually intrigued, that they're actually, wait a minute, something's different here. I like to say about Christian Family Radio, I like to say we're not stiff, we're not harsh, you know. We want to be inviting because who knows what opportunity we have in the day when someone's listening, whether it's the music, whether it's the programming, and whether it's something that one of our air team is saying about Christ, because that's who we represent 24/7.
Bridget, you said something really important. It's about how to start the conversation. There are things that we can point out that are wrong. But let's look at commonalities. Let's look at where is the common ground and begin from there. Now, as Christians, we know that we are made in the image of God, and so might be our political opponents. That might be. But they are made in the image of God, and that's a place to start from. That means that they have inherent dignity, inherent value, and because of that, we ought to respect them as such, a human being precious in God's sight. And if we start there, boy, how refreshing is that, isn't it?
Yes.
When we engage with respect and with deference, we have a listening ear towards our political opponent or somebody who thinks differently than us, that really diffuses a lot of possible tension. It disarms the other side where they're braced and waiting for some kind of an argument or to be told that they're wrong. When we show genuine respect and when we show care and concern for the other person, that's a huge stride ahead, and that's what we need to do to lead in the church, isn't it?
Yes. Richard, that was one of the reasons why we were so in favor of coming alongside you. The list of people, the speakers that you had at the conference, they dealt with real issues, cultural challenges of opposition. Every speaker brought a life story that they had, life stories, not just one, of course, but experiences where there had been transitions, transformations, failures, but they had overcome those. And the number one thing when we walked out of the conference, Richard, from people that I was going up to say, what was your takeaway? The number one thing people said to me, we are reminded that we are people that have the greatest privilege to be loved to everybody we come in contact with. We don't need the reputation as Christians of people that are hateful, that are dividing, that are deliberately trying to be negative. We need that wiped off our reputation. And each one of us that are faithful people need to really take that seriously. My husband and I have this thing that we say to each other when we get off. We say, would you want to be married to me? Would I want to be married to you? So if we take it into a relationship, and it doesn't have to just be a marriage, it could be, would I want to be a friend to me? We have to ask ourselves those questions because the issues in our culture do not have to divide us. I believe there is no problem that we're facing culturally that God doesn't already have a solution for. I believe that. But as his ambassadors, how we bring those solutions into culture is so important. Are we that approachable person? And do we really have what I call street credentials? Have we really walked it out, or are we just talking in theory about it?
That's good. There were a couple people that presented that had some real street cred, as they say, right?
They did.
We had somebody that one of the most volatile issues today is LGBT identity. It is like a lightning rod in our culture, and it's very easy to go wrong in talking about this. But one of the presenters talked about his LGBT identity for some 18 years. He kept it secret. He had a lot of shame. He was abused as a young child, and he shared his struggle in grappling with the shame and the guilt, but shared about his transformation and also talked about how to address that issue with grace, reaching the LGBT community with grace and with truth. And not only did he share his story, but he also talked about a ministry that the Lord led him in, where he's reaching out to others in that community. Isn't that an awesome story of transformation?
He was so vulnerable and authentic, and he painted the picture so that you felt the experience, but you also walked away feeling hopeful. He was straight to the point, but you walked away feeling hopeful, because unfortunately that issue is one immediately that someone that is perhaps not a believer, they will say, well, you believe this, and this is how you treat us. It becomes an us and them situation. And he so eloquently the other night said, no, it's not an us and them. Mm-hmm. We are always better together. But him being willing to just vulnerably lay that out there, there were pastors that attended the conference the other night that said many of the things he shared were so poignant. But he said he gave us hope. Yeah. The world is telling us that that is a situation, that this is the way it is, deal with it, accept it, or you're a wrong person, you're a bad person. You know, labels are put there. But after him so vulnerably saying, this is what I've overcome, pastors walked out of there with hope, saying, this is an issue that is facing the church, and we have to address it and compassion. And that was just what was so, that was one of the many things that was stirred up from that speaker.
So I was so encouraged to hear that this conference encouraged so many pastors and ministry leaders to talk about not just LGBT, but one of the presenters talked about being pro-abortion at one time, to the point where she had two abortions, and how God saved her from her brokenness, saved her from her guilt and shame, and actually used her to start a pro-life ministry. So isn't it amazing, Bridget, how we see sin, which leads to brokenness, how God can redeem that brokenness and use us in a greater way than we ever expected?
I think each one of us have a story, Richard. I think each one of us have an intersection where we were challenged, where we were walking in a path and we found ourselves in critical cycles. And when you have that opportunity to recognize that and say, this isn't the best for me, and it's not just the best for me, but it's also not good for others around me. Then we have the opportunity when we hear somebody say, this is where I was, but today, here's where I am, then we can grab a hold of that. And I believe that love is the greatest force in the world, but it has to be cultivated in hope. Love has to be released in that place where hope is definitely in focus. And we have to remember, we are hope carriers. We have the greatest hope of all. Hopefully, our actions and our attitudes convey that. But yes, Angela Mentor, I have heard her speak. I've been privileged. She was your speaker that shared where she had been in being pro-abortion and now being pro-life. Her whole life has changed. She and we were talking about Daniel Mingo earlier. We were talking about how incredible his story was from living this identity and now is an advocate. Both of them, really, Richard, I think are advocating for a full, whole, healthy life. That was their message. They shared where they were not in an unhealthy course of life. But yet now they're healthy. And the beautiful part of both of them and all the speakers, They're willing to serve and help others because we're better together. We are better together.
Awesome. That's good. Bridget, we've got just a minute. Could you give us a plug? Why should somebody come to CPC's next Christianity and Culture Conference? By the way, one is coming up in Paducah on October the 1st. The next will be in Somerset on November the 5th. So give us a plug. I want you to be a commercial for us, is what I'm saying.
You need to come to this conference because you're going to hear real people with real life stories, and you're going to have action steps to walk out and say, I can live my Christianity in culture in a honorable way. I can reset and reframe myself with the information that I'm going to grab at this conference wherever I am in life. You're going to be educated, but you're also going to walk out appreciating the other side of the story. And we as believers have got to be well-versed in that. We have not done that as believers. We've stepped away from something because we were like, oh, we don't want to be a part of that, so let's stay away. No, we were born to be in the world and to be contagiously fervent in our faith. And can I just say, we should be people that are informed, not to tell other people, but to help them. We don't have to tell other people. You know, a lot of times our activity can be how we serve, and then people might ask questions. So live the gospel out and wait for somebody to ask you questions about it. That's what you're going to get when you go to this conference. Plus, you're supporting Commonwealth Policy Center, which is an advocate for the voice for truth, the voice for freedom, and the voice for fullness.
Very good. Bridget Kirkgross, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your help in previous conferences. God bless you, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
God bless you, Richard. Thank you. Thank you for what you do.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that we're living in confusing and challenging times where law and culture are increasingly hostile to Christian values. So how do you maintain your faith and convictions? That's a question that we're helping to answer at our Christianity and Culture conferences. The goal is to help believers to understand the culture and how to respond in an effective and winsome way. And we'd love for you to join us. The first two were well received, and we look forward to seeing you at our fall conferences in Bowling Green, Paducah, and in Somerset. To find out more, go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. That's CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org, and we look forward to seeing you there.
Welcome back to segment two of The Commonwealth Matters. Joining me now is Bob Scott. He is the Director of Church Outreach for CPC. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, as usual, Richard, it's an honor to be here.
Bob, it has been a while since we've been together. One reason is because you and your family have faced a number of challenges. You have had COVID, your wife has had COVID, your wife had knee surgery. You have been through the ringer lately, and
yes,
our thoughts and prayers have been with you as you have really been through it.
Well, you know what, brother? Romans 8:28, God works all things together for the good to those who love him according to his purpose. A scripture that I quote honestly often, but we've had a chance to live that. It has been a trying season, and you know, that's the thing we can all take comfort in, is we have a God who cares about us intimately. And, you know, in the midst of that, not only did we walk through our own personal health issues, but I also lost, I have two sisters, both of their spouses died unexpectedly within about a, I want to say, 40-day window. And then also a very, very dear friend of Caroline and myself passed away again unexpectedly. He died from COVID, and he was only 55 years of age, left two young boys. He knew the Lord, and that's the good news. We know where he is. His wife knows where he is, but it is a tough season, you know, and it's given, I think, us all a greater opportunity to reflect and be thankful for the life that we have, and mindful of you know, the disease that is around us right now.
COVID-19 is real. It is impacting real lives. I think it's more serious than many of us have acknowledged early on, and we need to be in prayer.
I think it's worse this time around, Richard, than it was a year ago. I really do.
It is. It by all appearances, that's the case. So I think, Bob, God has our attention. You know, as we have been in the middle of pandemic for a year and a half, more almost closing in on 2 years, God has our full attention. So we know that we live in a broken world. The disease and death is part of the fall, is part of the brokenness. We also know that as Christians, we can point to the Creator and the Redeemer who sustains us and also fixes our brokenness. We point to the one who can save us, save our souls, and then give us comfort in trying times. And that's what I think more than anything, what we need to do in the church in this time of pandemic, time of fear, time of sickness, time of death, is we need to point others to Jesus. And that's a good pivot to our Christianity and Culture Conference, which we're, you know, we deal with so many issues that deal with brokenness, Bob. You know that one of our presenters who was identified as LGBT, however secretly for years, another presenter was pro-abortion, who had two abortions of her own. Both shared testimonies of God's grace and God's healing in their lives, and to the point where they both have started their own ministries and have impacted countless others who, for God's glory, sharing God's truth, trying to help the brokenness in their life, fix the brokenness in their life, and pointing them to Jesus, who really is our hope, and our hope and for eternity, but hope for right now, for some level of comfort and some level of healing with the brokenness that we all deal with.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, Richard. As I was quoting Romans 8:28 again, they are perfect living examples of broken people that God comes in into the midst of it, radically changes their situation, you know, as they fall on their faces before him and repent of their sins, and works it for the good to where he's now powerfully using them. And I mean powerfully using them in wonderful ministries that are touching lives and saving lives, literally.
Bob, sometimes it takes us to be broken as people. Sometimes it takes us to be at the bottom of the barrel until God has our full attention. I've heard it said once before that when you are at the very bottom, the only place to really look is up, right? And when you look up, you're going to realize that I'm in a mess bigger than myself or bigger than any one person can fix. And that points many people to God. We've got to somehow realize how hopeless we are in saving ourselves and how futile it is to try to save ourselves. The truth is that we cannot do that. That's why we have a Savior who died for us on the cross and rose again from the grave to save us from our brokenness. So the gospel's this. Yes. We're made in the image of God, right? That means we have dignity and value and inherent worth. But we're also broken. We have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and we need to be reconnected to God. We are made to walk with Him. And the way we get reconnected to God is through repentance to Jesus and asking Him to forgive us of our sins and to reconnect us to Him. And, you know, He is gracious, He is patient, He is kind, and He stands ready to meet us where we are. Doesn't matter what your sin is. Doesn't matter how far you've fallen short of His glory. He is there ready to meet you in your brokenness.
Hallelujah. You know, it says in Romans that all have sinned, not some, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you're right. Without Jesus being that atoning sacrifice, man, I wouldn't even want to think about where we would be right now, you know, where mankind would be. I know it would be utter chaos. And Jesus is the one that provides the way. He is the way, the truth, the life. You know, no man comes into the Father, but by Him, He is that bridge. And I'm just so thankful for on a day-by-day basis. And as Caroline and I walked through this season, and, you know, Richard had to go to the emergency room 3 times, you know, she was dealing with this, and she got COVID pneumonia again because of the surgery that she had and was pretty much immobile. The Lord was always in the midst of it and reassuring and giving us strength and, you know, promising that He would never leave us or forsake us, you know, as we walk through that. And let me say this too, It's because of God's people too. And this is what I feel we're doing through these conferences is God's people coming and ministering to us, you know, and you're one of those people. I'm going to brag on you. You brought us meals and folks that are listening to this, Richard Nielsen can cook, let me tell you. And he's a good baker too, I might add. Some of the best chocolate chip cookies I have ever eaten. But it's stuff like that, you know, and folks, just neighbors and friends and rallying to our need. And we weren't even asking for it, you know, and it was amazing, Richard. It was always a night or a time when we needed it. We'd get a phone call or somebody would just say, hey, we're swinging by. We're going to drop off a meal to you. You know, that happened constantly. And it was just amazing. Always at the moment when we needed it. We're so thankful for that.
That's good, Bob. I want to pivot. We got a minute and a half, and I want to pivot to some of the conference topics. So you just shared about your personal trials that you and Caroline have been through. A lot of people might say, well, that's good. That's Christianity should help those who are sick. Christianity should help the poor. You should be there for those who are hurting. But shouldn't be involved with politics. We don't want pastors speaking to political issues or moral issues. We don't want the church talking about elections. We don't want the church talking about what culture should look like. And I want you to speak to that. Give me 30 seconds.
30 seconds. The quickest thing I can say, whether we like it or not, culture, politics has crossed over into the culture, you know. And if we don't engage, if we don't get involved, I'm just telling you, we already saw what happened last year when not only our governor, but other governors throughout the country were really trying to lock down churches and take precedent over churches. And again, if a few folks didn't stand up and stand in the gap, they would have been successful in that, you know. And fortunately, the courts and then even all the way up to the Supreme Court, it's all fit to rule in the church's favor. But that's just one small example of why we've got to engage. And then ultimately, we're after trying to save people and make them aware of Jesus, that there is a better way. And it's critical. It's absolutely critical. These conferences are really showing that we have to engage the culture.